We are going to be looking at four different people this Advent season. We're going to be looking at Isaac, Joseph, Moses, and David. We're taking 4 weeks to look at the lives of Isaac, Joseph, Moses, and David. And as we look at these biblical lives, I believe we're going to see the hope of Christmas in a much deeper way. And today, we're going to begin our journey in Advent with the story of Isaac. But before we get to Isaac, I would like to invite my friend Ronnie L. on stage. And Ronnie L., I just asked Ronnie L. to do this, like a few minutes ago. So he did not wake up this morning thinking he was going to be doing this. So you're going to have to give him lots of grace. Here's what's going to happen. Ronnie L., I am going to ask you one question. And I'm going to set a timer. I have it right here. And once I ask you my question, here's your microphone. Once I ask my question to you, I am then going to remain completely silent. I'm not going to help you. I'm going to say nothing. I'm just going to stare at you awkwardly as you answer this question. Okay? So I'm going to start the timer. It's going to be 2 minutes. And you can say as little or as much as you want to answer this question. Okay, so give him some support here. Let's support Ronnie L. Here we go. Ronnie L., who are you?
Ronnie L., who am I? My name is Ronnie L. de la Reya Ureña. Born in the Philippines. Grew up in Las Vegas, been married 27 years now to a Canadian woman. I have my oldest daughter is 29 years old. She's married, living in Texas. My middle daughter is 25, who just got engaged. My son's 22, and I help on the worship team from time to time. two minutes, where are we at? Man, it's not even a minute yet. Holy moly, it's hard. 2 minutes of silence from you, and I have to do all the talking? Oh, man, what else? I'm a child of God. Amen, my sister. Becoming an NLCC for 2 years now. Love this church. Love it when you speak. Love it when you speak, man. Come on. You got to speak now. I got to pass the mic on, right? How many more seconds?
Okay, okay.
Am I good?
Well, a minute and a half. Let's give him a round of applause. All right, here. Give me a hug, man. It's so good. Thank you. All right, Ronnie L., I owe you a coffee or something. Thank you so much for doing that. That's hard, right? And it's weird. It's just 2 minutes. He made it through a minute and a half. But it's just 2 minutes. Like, who are you? Did you hear what Ronnie L. said about himself? In an amazing way, he went through a list of things. So he talked about who he was, like where he was from the Philippines, who he married. He married a Canadian. He kind of walked through his life. And who are you seems like such an easy question, but it would be interesting to hear how you would answer that. If you had 10 minutes on stage in front of 400 adults, what would you say? What's the priority list that you would go through to tell me who you are? It seems like such an easy question, but it's so difficult to answer. So let me ask you, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Today, we will see that Christmas is the very moment that God invites the world to understand and to see their true identity. Christmas is an invitation to all of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus to see who we really are. And this will be our Christmas text for this morning. When the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Merry Christmas. You have been adopted into the family of God. Merry Christmas. You are a child of God. That is your identity. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you so much that as we celebrate the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, God, we see our true identity. We see that we are invited to become children of God. And God, I pray that you would give us new eyes, that you would open our heart to see this good news. We love you. Come be king in this place. Pray the enemy would have no authority in this place. This is your space and your place, and we give our lives to you. Come and move, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, 2,000 years before Jesus, we hear the story of a child named Isaac. If you were wondering what on earth Isaac has to do with Christmas and with understanding our true identity, then join me in the book of Genesis in chapter 21 and chapter 22. In the book of Genesis, we read that Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah. The interesting thing about his birth is that he is born to very old parents. Abraham is said to have been 100 years old and Sarah 90 years old when Isaac was born. So Isaac's birth is truly a miracle. And I want you to listen to the promise God gave Abraham about his descendants. So he says, okay, so Isaac is born to you, and this is what's going to happen. So this is what he's saying to Abraham. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. What does that mean? What is that about? How are all the nations blessed through the birth of Isaac, through the birth of this child? Well, you see, earlier in the book of Genesis, we read about sin, about the effect that sin has on the world, about how sin separates humans from God. Sin is rebellion against God. And in the book of Genesis, we see this rebellion. Already, you know, we're only 21 chapters into the book of Genesis. And in those first 21 chapters, we're already seeing all kinds of stuff. We've seen immorality. We've seen murder. We've seen pride, arrogance. They've already made appearances in just a few chapters. And we're already seeing that sin separates humanity from God. But that God did not give up on the human race. His plan is to use this one family to draw the world back to himself. Seems like a crazy plan. But God, in his goodness, picks this plan. He says, I'm going to choose Abraham. And through Abraham, I'm going to work in the world. I'm going to bring the world back to myself. So he picks Abraham and he says this, and these are in my own words. Through your son, I'm going to bring the world back to myself. Through your son, I'm going to bring the world back to myself. Through your offspring, I will reconcile people back to myself. We don't know how this will all work, but it will start with Abraham's son. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel. The family is called Israel, and God was working in them to bring the world back to himself. But this family was imperfect. They struggled to be faithful to God, and at times they really messed things up, betraying the God that they once loved. But you need to understand that Israel was always supposed to be the light of the world. But for a couple thousand years, they go back and forth, in and out of obedience to God. But the whole time, God kept his promise to Abraham. Through your son, I'm going to bring the world back to myself. Now, listen to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. This is the beginning of the story of Jesus. And remember, this is 2,000 years after Isaac was born. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Jesus, the son of Abraham. Yes, Jesus comes in the line of Abraham. And that is not a random detail. It is massively important. He is the new son of Abraham. He is the new son of Abraham. There was Isaac, but now, 2,000 years later, Jesus is here. He comes in the line of Abraham, and he is the son of Abraham. So then Paul writes this about all of us who follow Jesus. So all of us who place our faith in Jesus, this is true about us. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're children of the promise. What does this mean? I know this is thick, but what does all of this mean? It means this. Through Jesus, the son of Abraham, you are reconciled back to God. Through Jesus, the son of Abraham, you are invited to be part of the family of God. When we place our faith in Jesus, we then are welcomed to be part of this huge family that God is using to bless the world. He fills us with his very spirit, and we are called to bless the world. And Paul goes on. He says, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, that's us, anyone who's non-Jewish, Jewish is a Gentile. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel, the good news, in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. Okay, North Langley, track with me. What this means is that God has not abandoned his plan to bring the world back to himself. Even though Israel failed time and time again, God was not going to break his promise. So God comes as the new Isaac. Emmanuel, God with us. God comes as the new Isaac. Jesus is the new and greater Isaac. He comes to redeem us that we might be included, adopted into the family of God as his children. God did not give up on the world. The son of Abraham is here. The new and greater Isaac has arrived. Now you might be saying, okay, well that's interesting. That's a cool thing to think about. But let's take this a layer deeper. Isaac's whole story. See, there's a whole story you can read about in the book of Genesis, in chapter 21, 22, and so on, about this whole story of Isaac. And the whole story of Isaac is like a signpost pointing forward to Jesus. His entire story is like a signpost pointing to everything Jesus would do for us. And his whole life shows us how we're saved. How is it that we could be included into the family of God? How is it that God would adopt us? How? This is amazing. See how God's going to do this. Like Isaac, who was born to a mother by a sheer miracle, so was Jesus. He was born to Mary by a total miracle. Isaac was taken to be sacrificed on an altar, and so was Jesus. He came to give up his own life for the sake of the world. Like Isaac, who carried the wood for the sacrifice on his back, Jesus carries the cross. And then he hung upon the cross, the wood upon his back. Isaac traveled with his father to an area called Moriah. And 2 Chronicles 3 tells us that Mount Moriah is in Jerusalem, the very place where Jesus was crucified on Mount Calvary. But Isaac isn't killed. A substitute lamb is offered by God in his place. And Jesus is referred to by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See it, North Langley, a miraculous birth, taken to be sacrificed, carrying the wood on his back to Mount Moriah as our substitute lamb. Jesus is the new and greater Isaac who has come to redeem the world. Merry Christmas. You can be adopted as a child of God into God's family. It's good news for the world. And so I ask you this. Who are you? Who are you? There's a lot of talk these days about identity. There's a lot being written about identity. Many of us in the world are asking, who are we really? How do I find my true identity? Do I search my own heart to understand who I am? Like, if I could just go to some log cabin and, you know, kind of detach from media and from people, and could I just kind of think about it long enough to figure out who I am? Am I just the sum total of my life experiences, whether good or bad? Who am I? How would I ever know who I really am? How do I come to find out my true identity? Well, this is interesting. For those of you who are exploring Christianity, you'll find it interesting to know. The Bible doesn't say that we find our true identity in ourselves. In other words, if you want to know who you are, don't start with yourself. We're too messed up for that. That won't work. There are days when I feel good. I feel like Brandon Flowers singing The Man. And then a few hours later, like a real loser. And somewhere in between, I just want to be a hobbit. You know what I'm saying? Just eat all day. Just enjoy those little rolling grassy hills. See, I'm pretty messed up in how I think about myself. So mining deep into my own heart to find out who I am ain't gonna work. We're all just a little too narcissistic for that to work well. See, I need an anchor. I need an anchor outside myself. I need a truth outside myself to break into my life, into my confusion, and to speak truth. Christianity says that we come to find out who we are by revelation that comes outside of ourselves. It's something I receive, and it is making me. It's shaping me. North Langley, God's truth comes to us from outside of us. It breaks into our messiness, and God tells us who we are. As Rich Mullins sings, he says, I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very truth of God and not the invention of any man. He says, I didn't make it up. I didn't go away to some cabin to try to figure out who I was. It broke into my darkness. And the God who made me and loves me told me who I am. I like that. And here is what God's truth, the truth that comes from outside myself, the anchor, the revelation we receive, this is what God says about me. This is what God says about you. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Identity. That is what you are. I don't know what you think about yourself, but that is what you are. It's a truth that comes from outside of us. We did not make it. No, it is making us. Think back at the moment when some adult told us something and it stuck. It was probably a parent, maybe a teacher, maybe a coach, grandparent, aunt or uncle. Maybe they were trying to help us. Maybe. Maybe they were just being jerks. But their words stuck. And we have had a hard time seeing ourselves any other way. And if we're honest, we realize we are living into those words. We don't do it deliberately, but we find I've been so shaped by those words that were spoken to me. We have made life decisions based on those words that were spoken to us. We've shaped our identity around those words. That negative word that came from the outside continues to shape us. And right now, I would ask that we could collect those words. Could you, in your own heart and mind, collect those words? You remember when they were spoken to you? You remember all the times they were spoken to you? And our duty right now is to gather them together and to hold them up before the God that loves us and to see them for what they really are. Lies. They're lies. They are lies. And you hold them before the God that loves you, and you hear from the Father once again, you are my son whom I love. You are my daughter whom I love. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we would be called children of God, and that is what we are. No matter what you think about yourself, that is what you are. It is our new identity. Who are you? I am a child of God. The new Isaac has arrived. In him we are adopted. The new Isaac has arrived, and in him we are welcomed into the family of God. But the world is eager to fill you with false ideas of who you are. All kinds of identities will seek to eclipse the truth of God. Our citizenship, our ethnicity, our sexuality, our accomplishments, our failures, our careers, our relationships, our parenting, our schooling, our tragedies, our ministry, our dreams, all of these areas of our life, if we don't see them as secondary, some of them are profoundly influential in your life. The thing that you went through, the tragedy you went through, the accomplishment you made, where you are from, some of these things are powerful in our lives, but if we don't see them as secondary, then they will begin to shape us and to give us false ideas of who we actually are. None of these things can take our primary identity away from us. We are children of God. That has to come first before anything else. I want to share with you a story of a man named Graham Seed. Graham lives in England. He's a leader in the Alpha Course. Some of you are familiar with the Alpha Course. You've taken the Alpha Course. And I'm going to show you a video that comes from the newest series from the Alpha Course. I want you to hear the story of Graham Seed's life. And as we watch, I want you to see the identity shift that takes place in his heart. Let's watch this together.
I was accused of murder when I was 15. At 16 years old, I eventually went to jail. And I went to a detention centre called Medemsley. It was very, very harsh. In that place, I was told what to do, and I wouldn't do it. I was anti-authority. I had a lot of physical beatings in there. I was put in solitary confinement a lot, and it didn't help me. I just thought these people were bullies. So when I got out of there, I was more angry than when I went in. I was an embarrassment to my mother. She said, you know what? She said, you're the son of Satan. You're evil. She said, you're worse than your father ever was. Now, that was bad to me because my dad was very violent to my mum, often raped her. So for me, for her to say I was worse than my dad, it was the son of Satan, it just got me really angry. And the things I did, which I couldn't mention, really. But I did some very, very, very seriously evil things. So all I did was drink, take drugs, didn't eat. I didn't realise I was getting septicemia. I had malnutrition and dehydration. In March of 1996, some people turned up on the street and they said to me, do you know Jesus loves you? And I chased them. Jesus, my nana sang about Jesus when I was a kid. There was no such thing. A week after they came back, and I seen these Christian men and women on the street for the next 6 months. One morning I woke up, it was just a normal day. And I got my drink and my drugs and I collapsed. I was rushed to hospital. I was in a coma for 6 days. My mother was asked to come to the hospital. She went to the hospital. I was dead. I'd had my last rites on the 6th day. Consultant said to my mum that there's nothing they can do. So she said, can I have a few more hours to think about it? So my mum went out of the room and there was a lot of people there come to say goodbye to me. And then Tony, my mate, said to my mum, there's some Christian lads here. And my mum went, well, what good's that gonna do? How can that help him? He's dead. And they said, well, let us pray for him. So they went and prayed for me and they put their hands on my head and they said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, give this man new life. And I woke up, sat up, pulled the mask out of my mouth. I was alive, come back to life. But it wasn't just a miraculous waking up of the coma. I woke up totally different. I knew I'd never drink again or take drugs or smoke. I wanted to help people. I actually thought I'd gone insane, to be honest. When I said Jesus, it's the exact words, I've never forgot it. It was November the 9th, 1996, at 2:45. I said, Jesus, and I've been told you love me, and I kind of believe that you love me, but it's not enough. I need to know something in my heart. And as I said that, and I said, sorry, will you come into my life? I fell back into my chair, and I was crying. I couldn't stop. At that moment, as them tears flooded out my eyes, I knew where I was from. I knew who I was, and I knew what I had to do. So that night at 10 o'clock, I went back to the streets of Middlesbrough, full of Jesus, and I began my ministry. That was 19 years ago. And ever since then, that's what I've done. I've gone, I've told people about Jesus, I've run 141 Alpha courses. There's a couple of things I say to people on the streets or in the prison when I first meet them, because they're full of doubt, you know, I was doubtful. And I say, well, Grandma, how do you really know that, you know, you didn't just wake up out of a coma? Now, maybe I did just come out of that coma by coincidence, but I often say, for the last 19 years, why have I lived how I have? You know, where did the violence go? Where did the anger and the rejection and not knowing about love, where did that go in one night? Jesus is supreme love. That's what changes, that's what changed Graham Seed. So if it changed Graham Seed, it endures for anyone.
Did you hear the moment that Graham said the following? At that moment, when them tears flooded out of my eyes, I knew where I was from, I knew who I was, and I knew what I had to do. Let me read that again. I knew where I was from. I knew who I was. And I knew what I had to do. I knew where I was from. I knew who I was. He knew his new identity. He knew where he was from. He was part of God's new family. He knew who he was. He was a child of God. Do you see it? Once his identity clicked, everything else came together. And I ask, could it be that that's what has kept you stuck? Stuck in a certain way of seeing yourself. At that moment when them tears flooded out of my eyes, I knew where I was from, I knew who I was, and I knew what I had to do. His mother called him son of Satan, but the Spirit called him son of God. He had been adopted by grace into a new family. The new Isaac had come, and Jesus has welcomed Graham into the family. You know, in my own life, I know that walking and realizing that I'm a child of God really does change everything. How often I forget personally that I am a child of God. I forget the purity of the Father's love for me. I have this awful tendency of continuing to think that God is always frustrated with me. This can often happen, especially when I'm speaking or preparing to speak. I feel like God is just in a corner and he's frustrated with me. Now, this might not sound like a big story at all, but once I was traveling to Egypt and something very profound happened in my life. This is going to sound so small, but it was so profound. I was with Pastor Rob Thiessen and we traveled to Egypt and there was a men's conference. And so there were all these men from Egypt that had gathered at this big retreat center. And I was going to have the opportunity to share with them one night, to share with them my story. And I told them, I was honest about my own story, about my own life. And when I got off the stage, there's a guy who works with an organization called MB Mission. His name's Kevin, and he was there. And he came up to me after I spoke, and he said to me, he said, while you were speaking, I had a vision. And this is so cool that God gave him this picture. He said, I had a picture. He says there were all these Egyptian men in this room. And in the back row, he said, I saw Jesus sitting in the back row. And Jesus was wearing Egyptian clothes. And he was pointing it at you, Matthew. He was pointing at you on stage, and he was saying, that's my boy. That's my son. And guys, I know it sounds like a tiny little thing. It was deeply influential. I mean, God's not perpetually frustrated with me. He's not just consistently annoyed by me. No, he says, that's my boy. Like, God is for me. He's not against me. And North Langley, God is for you. He is not against you. And what is that identity that you've been carrying for so long? Son of Satan. Daughter of shame. Son of guilt. Daughter who is never good enough. Son who hides his sins. Daughter of unhappiness. Son of addiction. Daughter of empty religion. Son of broken promises. Daughter of greed. What is the identity that you have carried for so long? It's a lie. It is such a lie. And we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would come and heal us. So would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come. We know you are here, but we pray that you would come in your power and in your love. Lord, it has almost become cliche to talk about our identity in Christ. I pray that today that you would rescue us from seeing that phrase as being cliche, that we would see who it is that we truly are, that our identity is found in you. And so, Northangley, I'm going to encourage us right now, just take those words and those lies. And offer them up to Jesus. And as you offer those to him, with new ears, with new eyes, experiencing it anew, hear this. See what great love the Father has lavished on you, that you would be called a child of God, and that is what you are. And God, I pray right now as we hold out these lies, that you would heal us, that they would just evaporate, that they would blow away by the powerful wind of the Holy Spirit, and that you would heal us, oh God. Come and heal us. Remind us of who we truly are. And North Langley, see what Jesus, the new and greater Isaac, has done for you. See it. The new Isaac carried the wood for his sacrifice on his own back for you. The new Isaac traveled to Mount Moriah to be sacrificed for you. The new Isaac was laid on an altar for you. The new Isaac was the lamb that was slain in your place. He was your substitute. He died the death we should have died for our own sins, and he rose from the dead, conquering death itself. This is your new family. This is your new last name. This is your heritage. This is your hope. You are a child of God. Amen. What a miracle that day in Bethlehem. Here is this child wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. And who knew? Who knew that that night the world was being invited to become children of God? When the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Merry Christmas indeed.